We're on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, and we are six lines down from the top. Amar Rab Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rab Yeshua Ben Levi, Halacha K'Rab Yochanan Ben Nuri. We paskin like Rab Yochanan Ben Nuri. If a person is sleeping, then he's Koneh Shvisa B'Mkomo, and he gets 2,000 Amma in each direction. Amar Le Rab Zera L'Rab Yaakov Bar Idi, Beferish Mielach, did you hear this from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi directly? O Michlola Shmielach, or perhaps you understood it from his words. In other words, Michlal Dvarav, as you were medayik in his words, and even though he was addressing a different halacha, you derived from that halacha that he, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, accepts the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Omalei Beferish Mielach. I heard it explicitly. Now the Gemara wants to say, my klola. What did Rav Zera allude to when he said that perhaps we could derive Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's opinion about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri from a diuk in something that the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had said in a different context? And the Gemara answers the following. The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Halacha kidivrei ha-mekil be'eruv. Any machlokas we have in the laws of Erev Tchumen, of Erev in general and Tchumen particularly, is Halacha kidivrei ha-mekil. That was the statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And let's derive from that the conclusion that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who is mekil in the case of a person who was asleep at the onset of Shabbos, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, we'll give him 2,000 amah in each direction, he's called a Shvisa b'mkomo. So the Gemara now clarifies, V'tarte lomali. Why did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi have to say explicitly that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri when he already has formulated a general principle, an all overarching principle, that halacha kidivrei ha-mekel be'eruv? Om Rav Zera Tzrichi. I need both statements of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. To Iashmin, if we only had heard from Yeshua ben Levi the general rule of Halacha Kedivrei Hamekil of, sorry, if we had only heard from Rav Yeshua ben Levi that we paskin like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, Hava Mina, that we would have thought that means Bein Lekula Ubein Lechumra. We'll accept Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri straight across the board. Lakula in the case of an Adam Yoshein, that he's Koneh Shvisa for 2,000 Amah in each direction from his Makom where he fell asleep. Ubein Lechumra with regard to Klei Hefker, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that Klei Hefker are Koneh Shvisa, Konim Shvisa b'mkomon, which means that no one's allowed to take them and carry them Kiraglov, meaning wherever he has, tchum, he has Koneh Shvisa. So again, this is a chumra because the Chachamim hold that Kalim are not Koneh Shvisa, and therefore whoever acquires ownership and possession over these Kalim, he will determine to what extent their tchum is. And wherever he left his Erev Tchumen, he's allowed to carry these Kalim once he's Zochen them. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that's not true. There are only Koneh Shvisa b'mkomon. And we explained back on Daf Mem Hei that the reasoning of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is that Adam Yoshein is Koneh Shvisa because he holds that all Cheftzei Hefker are Konim Shvisa, and Adam Yoshein has the same halachic status as a chefetz shel hefker, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is not going to allow an extended eruv based on the eruv that the person who is zochen these kalim of hefker would be able to enjoy. Kamashwan, therefore, Rabbi Shua ben Levi tells me halach kedivrei ha-mekel be'eruv. In other words, we're not going to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, except in the case of Adam Yoshein, because there Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is more mekil than the Chachamim. But with regard to Kli Hefker, where the Chachamim want Mekiel than Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, we're going to paskin like the Chachamim, and that's an application of this general rule of Halacha Kedivre HaMekiel B'Eruv. Now, there seems to be a logical contradiction here. How can you paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Adam Yoshein, and like the Chachamim and Kli Hefker? That's an inner contradiction. Because if you hold, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that an Adam whose Yoshein is Kona Makom Shvisa, then in the case of Chefzei Hefker, you should likewise apply the principle of Konim Shvisa. And in Kalim, there should be a Kona Shvisa that you cannot take them out of 2,000 Amma. If, on the other hand, you hold like the Chachamim, that Kalim of Hefker are not Kona Shvisa, then Adam Yoshein also likewise should not be Kona Shvisa. He should only get Dalet Amos. So Rashi and Tosus explain that we Paskin like the Chachamim, the Chefzei Hefker Enam Konim Shvisa. And therefore, again, whoever finds these objects of Hefker and possesses them, he's allowed to be metaltal these Kalim Kiragla, based on his Eruv. But nevertheless, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri in the case of Adam Yoshein, that the Yoshein is Kodesh Shvisa. Again, not because of the principle of Klei Hefker Kodesh Shvisa, but because Hol Venir Kono Yoshein Nami Kono. So the Gemara now asks the following question: of Lema, why couldn't Rabbi Shimon Levi just simply say Alocha Kedivrei HaMekel BeEruv? And therefore, it would be totally superfluous to say Alocha Kedivrei Rabbi Yochanan. Lomali, why do we need that? Itzrich Salka Dait Chamina. If we only had the principle of Alocha Kedivrei HaMekel BeEruv, I would have thought, Hani Mili, when do we apply this principle? That's Yochid B'Makom Yochid. You have one individual against another individual. Or, Rabin b'mochem Rabin. We have a group of colleagues against another such group. Aval Yochid b'mochem Rabin, a Malot. In the case of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who argues as a single voice, dissenter, against the Chacham, against the Rabin, we would not paskin like the Yochid against the Rabin, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had to go out of his way and tell us that even in such a case, where it's only a das Yochid, nevertheless halacha kedivrei adas Yochid amekil be eruv keneged das harabim hamachmirin. Omale Ravel Abaye michti. Let's analyze this. Eruvin derabbanan. Mali Yochid b'makom Yochid, Mali Yochid b'makom Rabin. Now it's on a Doraisa level. Obviously, we prefer to paskin like the Rabin against the Yochid. So that if Tchumin would have been a Doraisa halacha, then I would need you to teach me that we can paskin Lakula even like the Das Yochid. But in truth, the din of Tchumin is only the Rabbanan. And with regard to a din d'rabbanan, there's no adifus, there's no special weight or status to the rabbim against the yochid. So again, we come back to our original question: why did Rabbi Shimon Levi have to tell us that halacha is kedivrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri be'adam yoshein? And now Rav Papa asks a question on the very premise of Rava. Omalei Rav Papa l'Rava, are you assuming that b'rabbanan lo shanilon? Bein Yochid Makom Yochid Li Yochid Makom Rabim. When we're dealing with the Rabbanans, there's no issue of paskin like a Yochid against a Rabim. There's no inhibitions about that. What's non? What about the Mishnah at the beginning of Nida? Adav Zayin Omid Beis and Masecht Nida. Rabbi Lozar. Now, here we have a Girsa of Rabbi Eliezer in the Bach. Omer Kol Isha. Whether she's young or whether she's old, she'avroleh shalosh onos. She had three periods of 30 days. Each period of 30 days is an ona. And you multiply that by three onos, you get 90 days. And during this 90-day period, she did not see dam. According to Rabbi Lazar, she gets a chazok of mesulekes domim. And what's the impact of being a mesulekes domim, a woman who we assume is not going to see dam? When she does see dam, daya shaita. we're only going to be metame her from now on, from the moment of her re'iyah when she sees the dam and onward. We're not going to be choshesh for taros that she had contact with before that moment of time when she saw the re'iyah. And the reason for that is that although with regard to other women who normally see dam on a regular basis, so we're going to be metame l'mafreya retroactively those taros that she had contact with, let's say within the last 24 hours, but now we're talking about a woman who's a mesulekes damim and therefore daya shaita. And that's the sheet of Rabbi Elazar. You have to know that the Chachomim disagree. They hold that only a zakena who has passed three onos and she hasn't seen dam, then we apply the principle of daya shaita. But Seira, if she's a young person, even if she hasn't seen for 90 days, we're still going to be metame halamafre retroactively. And that's because a Tzaira may have had some sort of a fluke, and therefore she hasn't seen dam for 3 months, but nevertheless she's still not considered in the full sense a mesulekes damim. And therefore we're going to be metame according to Chacham l'mafreya, which means either going back to the last time she made a bedika and she found herself to be tohoro, perhaps it means the last 24 hours. For that you have to see Beis Hillel Beit Shammai at the beginning of Masecht Nida. V'tanya, we learned in a brisa, Maisa, an actual case, came in front of Rebbe of a young woman, and 90 days she hadn't seen, now she saw. Also Rebbe ki Rabbi Elazar, Rebbe paskin like Rabbi Elazar, and he was mitayer all the taras that she had come in contact with before the Re'iyah, which means Daya Shaita, and Rebbe is now reflecting the Psak Halacha like Rabbi Elazar Liachash and Nizkar. Rebbe realized that he didn't make the right decision, his ruling was mistaken because the Chacham disagreed with him, and he did not rescind his original Psak. Omar Kedaihu Rabbi Elazar Lismach Al B'Shas Hadchak. Now watch this. It's only because of Shas Adchak, which means these were famine years, and Rebbe did not want to be metame the taras that she had contact with, because that would exclude them from achila. And therefore, under this pressing, urgent situation, he left the halacha like Rabbi Elazar. But if all things would have been equal, he would have paskin like the rabbim against the yachid. So Gemara clarifies, my li'achar shenizkar, what exactly did Rebbe remind himself of? Elaim, if you're going to tell me, li'achar shenizkar. He remembered the psak of the halach, the base majesty, and halach, the rabbi lozik, the rabbonon. And even though he knew at one point in time that the halach is like the rabbonon, he forgot about that. Is then, b'shas adchak heki ofin kavaseh, how could he rely on Rabbi Elazar when Rabbi Elazar's shita was rejected, and to rely on Rabbi Elazar would be shalokid din? And even though, with all due respect to Shas HaBatzoris, he would have to be mevatel zorah, ella, but rather, he remembered delo itmar hilchus alok Rabbi Elazar velok rabbanon. The Bryce has in mind that Rebbe reminded himself that we haven't come to any conclusion, neither like Rabbi Elazar nor like rabbanon, and therefore liachar shenizkar. Once Rebbe remembered that, is the lav yochid poligale, ela rabin pligale, that it's not just one individual opinion that rejected Rabbi Elazar, but the entire cadre of Rabbanan, the rabbin rejected him. Omar, even though according to strict letter of the law, he should now have followed the din of the rabbin, he declared Kedayu the Rabbi Elazar Lismach Lo B'Shas Hadchak. He wasn't Mevatel Zorah because of the Shas Hadchak. Which makes sense if there was never a clear-cut and demonstrative, normative, halachic ruling that the halacha is for sure like the Chachamim. It was an up-in-the-air situation, so he can still validate his original ruling like Rabbi Elazar, because there was never a psak against Rabbi Elazar. On the other hand, he really wanted to rescind his psak, if not for the Shnas HaBetzores, because halacha kirab. And this is called Tumas Ishalim Afreya. That's all Midrabanan. And you see clearly that if all things were equal, leaving out a Shas HaBetzores, we would have paskin like the Rabban. It's only in this case, because there was never a clear-cut psak, that Rebbe would rely on the shita of Rabbi Elazar as a kedaihu lismachalav b'shasad chak situation. But this is all against Rava, who assumes that in a drabbanon there's no chiluk, there's no distinction between the yachid and rabbi. Now the Gemara brings another proof that even in a mitzvah drabbanon or isa drabbanon, we paskin like the rabbim. Omar Rav Mesharshia l'Rava. The Amrili, others say it was Rav Nachman Yitzchak l'Rava. We have a brice in Moed Katan. And this is the law of Avelus. Most of Moed Katan deals with Avelus. Some of it deals with Chol HaMoed. Is the case is a Shmua Krova, a person just hears that just recently he lost one of his close relatives. No Heges, he should be No Heges Avelus, Shivas Yomim. 7 days, beginning with the Shas HaShmua. And during those days, he's not allowed to wash his body, he's not allowed to launder his clothes, etc., etc. Vishloshim, and he's Noeg Shloshim during the period of time from the moment that he hears about the Shmua. He's not allowed to take a haircut, he's not allowed to press his garments, iron them. Oh, that's in the case of a Shmua Krova. But a Shmua Rechoka, if he finds out about the death of his relative a long time after the death, Eino no Heges, he doesn't have a Niyug Avelus, El Yom Echad Bilvad, 1 day of Avelus. Okay, what's called Krova and what's called Rechoka? So the difference is Ezi Rechoka, Ezi Krova, Ezi Rechoka, Bitoshloshim, if it's within 30 days since the death of his relative, that's Krova, that's a Shmua Krova, and he's knowing Avelus from the moment of his Shmia, a full-blown Avelus, Shiva and Shloshim. But Liakar Shloshim, if 30 days already have passed since the death of his relative, that's called a Shmua Rechoka, and this is all Divrei Rabbi Akiva, and in Shmua Rechoka we said he only has 1 day of Avelus. He's outside His shmua, if you want to call it that, was outside the official format of Avelus, because the official format of Avelus extends for 30 days. It wasn't until day 31 that he heard about the death of his relative. Chachamim, however, omrim, achas shmua krov, achas shmua rechoka no heges shiva ushloshim. Even in the case of a shmua rechoka, where he heard about the death of his relative beyond 30 days, he still has the full-blown Avelus of both Shiva and Shlosh. Okay, now we have a Machlokes Tanoim on an Isid Rabbanon of Isuri Avelus, and there's Yochin and Rab. So what do we do in this case? Omar Rabba Bar Chana Omar Rab Yochanan Kol Mokvashat Motzi Yochid HaMekil V'Rabim HaMachmirim Halacha Kidivrei HaMachmirim HaMerubim Chutz Mizu, Sha'afal Pish Rabbi Akiva, Mekil V'chachom Machmirim, Halacha Kidire Rabbi Akiva. So this is going to be the exception, and the Gemara explains this in the next line, V'sovrlo Kishmul Di'am Shmul, Halacha Kidire Mekil B'ov. So let's just summarize. If not for this, again, overarching general principle of Halacha Kidire Mekil B'ov, we would have paskin like the Chachomim, in a machlokas between the rabbim and the yochid, paskin like the rabbim, and we would be machmir. And in this case, even if he heard about the misa outside of the framework of 30 days, we would still be machmir. If not for the principle of halach kidivrei hamekel ba'avil, and the reason for that chumrah against Rabbi Akiva is because we paskin like the rabbim against the yochid. So Gemara's medayik, Bavelus, Hudiyaki, Lubei Rabbanon. Aval bi'alma afilu b'derabbanan, shani ben yochid b'makom yochid ben yochid b'makom rab. So we were passing like the rabbim, if not for this principle of halacha kidivrei hamekil ba'avil. And the reason why we would pass like chachamim is because they're rabbim, and Rabbi Akiva in this case is the yochid, and we're dealing with an isur d'rabbanan, and once again we have a contradiction to Rava's principle, unless we misunderstood Rava. Now let's just emphasize that avelus of shiva and shloshim is not min haTorah. And nevertheless, we're going to paskin like the yochid only because of the rule of halacha kedivrei hamekil b'avil. And now we're going to turn to Memvav Amid Beis. The Gemara is now going to clarify a number of different additional scenarios to explain why Rav Yishuv ben Levi had to paskin halacha k'Rav Yochanan ben Nuri in the case of Yashen, even though he already established the overarching principle of halacha k'Divrei HaMeikel be'eruv. Rav Papa Omar, and it's interesting that it is Rav Papa, because actually Rav Papa was the first one to bring that first raya from Nida in the case of whether we say Daya Shait or not, that we paskin like the Rabbim against the Yochid, even in an Isur d'Rabbana. Itzrach. We need Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, as far as Adam Yashen is concerned, that he's Konish Visum in Komo. It's not enough that we fall back on the general principle of Halach Yediri HaMekel Be'er, because Salka Dait Kamina would have thought, Hani Mili, when do we apply this principle of halach k'divrei HaMeikel be'eruv? That's only be'eruv chatzeros. Aval eruv tchumin emol lo, and therefore tzricha. The din of eruv tchumin is more chomer than eruv chatzeros, as the Gemara is going to clarify soon. And therefore we would have thought that the principle of halach k'divrei HaMeikel be'eruv only applies to eruv chatzeros, but not to eruv tchumin. That's why Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi had to tell us in our sugya, which is a sugya of Erev Tchumen, that we still paskin k'divrei HaMeikel, that's like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, against the Chachamim in the case of Yashin. So the Gemara asks, we know Tamer, how does Rav Papa know Dishonilon bein din Erev Chatzeres ledin Erev Tchumen? Where we find a Kula in Chatzeros, vis-a-vis Tchumen, Disnan, we have a Mishnah later on in Masecht Erevin with regard to the din of Ein Ma'arvin Li Odom Shalomi Daito. We don't set up an Erev without the foreknowledge of the person for whom the Erev is valid. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bamedvar Mamur, that's only an Erev Tchumen. The Chumra is an Erev Tchumen that we cannot establish the Erev on behalf of someone without his awareness. And the reason for that is because ein chavid liyodim shlo b'fonav. You know, you're not allowed to, I could do things that are beneficial for you without your permission, but not something that's detrimental. And Erev Tchumen always carries a downside to it. Why? Because, let's say, for example, he puts the Erev on the eastern side of the city, meaning leave the city on the east and go 2,000 Amma. Then he's going to lose his halicha litzad Meirov to the western side. Avol be'erev chatzeros ma'arvin bein ledas bein shalol ledas shezochin li adam shalol b'fonav ein chavin li adam shalol b'fonav. In the case of erev chatzeros, there's pure 100% gain. There's no element of loss. There's no downside. And therefore, we can activate the principle of Zoch Liyodim Shalom B'Fonav, and I can set up an Erev Chatzeres on behalf of the owner of that Chatzer, and he will gain access to the Chatzer on Shabbos by virtue of the Erev Chatzeres that I organize for him. but not in the case of Erev Tchumen, which, as we said before, has an element of Chova. It's not pure Zchus. And we're going to activate the opposite principle of Ein Chovin Lo Liyodim Shalo Bifanov. Anyway, we see clearly from the Mishnah that we just quoted that the din of Erev Chatzeres is relatively kal, it's light, compared to the din of Erev Tchumen. And that expressed itself in the halacha of Asiyas Erev Shalo Ladas. Therefore, it's logical to assume that the klal of halacha kedivrei HaMeikel be'Erev would only apply to Erev Chatzeres, but we have no right to extend it to Erev Tchumen, and therefore we need Rabbi Shimon Levi to spell out that halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the case of Adam Yoshein, and we're going to be Meikel in a machlokes in Erev Tchumen. Rav Ashi wants to give another possible answer to the question of Shitas Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rav Ashi Amar Itzrich. Why does Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi have to paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and it's not sufficient for him just to paskin or formulate the principle of Halacha Kedivrei HaMeikel be'Eruv? Salka Daitech Amino, I would have thought. Hani Mili, these words that Halacha Kedivrei HaMeikel be'Eruv apply b'machloka shel shiurei Eruv. So there's something called Shiurei Eruv, and there's something called Tchilas Eruv. So let's say in Shiurei Eruv, we're talking about a person that set up an Eruv for many, many Shabbosos, and he sets up his Eruv in a Mokom HaMishtamer, he puts it in a place where it's protected against the elements, and then, later on, Nismait HaOchel Mishur Shtei Sudos. Now, with the passage of time, the food starts diminishing, and it's now less than mazon shtei seudos. Now we're going to have a machlokes tanoim at the end of Masechta Erevin with regard to this very question of an erev tchumen shenismait, and that's called shiurei erev. So let's just summarize that. So the Mishnah, the remainders of an Eruv. So what is exactly this case of the remainders of an Eruv? And then we'll get to the case of the beginning of an Eruv. So the Bamedvar Amurim, just one second, I think we jumped ahead of ourselves here, just one second. So we had the case of Rav Ashi, and we would have thought that in a case that we can be Mekil in Eruv in the case of Shiurei Eruv, the remainders of the Eruv. The food was set aside to serve an Eruv for many weeks. It was partially eaten, and the Eruv had taken effect, let's say, at the beginning of the first Shabbos. The Eruv remains valid. However, there's machlokas involving the validity of the remains of the Eruv. For example, the case of an Eruv Tchumen, would it follow the rule that we can be Mekil be Eruv in the case of Shiurei Eruv? And we have a Hamamina here that in the case of Shiurei Eruv, we are going to paskin like the Mekil. Let's just see. He says here, Machlokas Tanoim Bidin Zelahalan Peyomid Beis, Imnitan Lismoch Ala Nosar Bitoras Eruv. Nosar meaning the remainders. Bozes Sovrim Onukidas HaMekil HaMachshiro. Here we could be Mekil and accept that shita that validates the Eruv and is lenient. And the reason for that is because kvar huchzak ha'eruv kilchaso Shabbos achas. We're going to be making with this Eruv for the future Shabbosos, because on one occasion, the first Shabbos in this Seder, in this sequence, the Eruv was perfect, and it already went into effect, it was Machshir. And we can keep it going based on that Cheskas Eruv Kehilchoso. And therefore we can be making. Avol be Tchilas Eruv, you have Machlokas about Tchilas Eruv. In other words, you put up the Eruv for this particular Shabbos that we're dealing with, not for future Shabbosos. And lo nischazek kilchasa. We don't have even one Shabbos in which this Erev was valid. Is emo lo, I might think that we don't go and paskin like the Mekil. Therefore, we would have said, again, we're explaining this Salkadak, this Havamina, that in the machlokes between Rav Yochanan Nuri and the Chachomim regarding Adam Yoshein, we would not paskin lekula like Rav Yochanan Nuri, because we don't have a huchzak sham eruv. We're starting from scratch. We're wondering if we can set up an eruv, and therefore we need Rav Yishuv Levi to teach us that even in such a case, halachas kedivrei Rav Yochanan ben Nuri lahakel, even though we're talking about tchilas eruv. So Gemara now wants to bring a proof that the status of Shiore Eruv is much more flexible or lenient than the status of Tchilas Eruv. How do we know such thing? We know Temra de Shanilan ben Shiore Eruv le Tchilas Eruv. Disnan, we learned in the Mishnah again later on, talking about the Shir Mazon for Erev Chatzeros, on Rav Yossi b'medvar mamurim. When is it that we require a certain Shir for Erev Chatzeros? That's b'tchilas Erev. That's if he's putting down the Erev for the first time. Avol b'shirei Erev, if he already had this Erev up and running on previous Shabbosos, and now it was Nismayet, is a filu kol shehu, even if all you're left with from this Eruv is a kol shehu, the most minimal amount. And what it means here, says Rashi, is kol shehu l'chol echad min ha-shutfim, is kosher. And if you ask me logically, why is it that we are more mekil with regard to shiore Eruv, and as we said before, it was huchzaku Shabbos achas, and since lo omru chachomim li'orev chatzeros el kedei shelo shakeach toras eruv menatinokos, chachomim formulated the following statement, that in general the enterprise of eruv chatzeros is only that we shouldn't forget the Torah's Erev when we really need the Torah's Erev, that's the Erev Tchumen. So the real Makoy Erev is Tchumen. And the children might forget about Erev Tchumen unless you remind them with Erev Chatzeros. So we're worried about generations to come and the din of Erev Tchumen. And therefore we could be Mekil in Erev Chatzeros if Mitchila was done Kilchasa, and then it became Shirayim, and there's only a little bit left, we could be Mekil, because fundamentally we don't need the Erev Chatzeros. So we would say that Ein Holchim Achara Mekil Ela Bishiore Erev. Again, since we're, in the case of Erev Chatzeros, we're more Mekil in Shiore Eruv, that we are in Tchilasa Eruv, then in that case, we would say that when we deal with Tchilas Eruv, like in the case of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri of Yoshein, we're not going to be able to paskin Lekula, because the real Makoy Shetach, area for Kula is Shiore Eruv. Eruv. So therefore I need Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi to teach me that the halacha is like the Mekil, right, Rabbi Lazar the Mekil, even in a case of like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, I meant to say, even in a case of Tchilas Eruv. Now let's just see if we could embellish, if we could add something to this principle that in Eruv Chatzeros Ishiore Eruv is Afilu Kolshu. Now the first point that we should mention here is that the Eruv is going to remain valid in the case of Eruv Chatzeros even if the designated food has diminished to less than the required amount, as long as there's the most minute amount that remains for each person included in the Eruv, as we said earlier. And now we want to come to grips with this principle of Lo Amru Eruv Chatzeres El Kidei Shelo L'Shakeach Toras Eruv Min HaTinokos. In other words, we're going to require the most minimum quantity for an Eruv Chatzeros just to ensure that the children, as they grow up, will not forget the law of Eruv. And this requirement of a minog is primarily in the case of Eruv Tchumen. And in order to safeguard this halacha, the rabbis, the Chachamim, required just a minimum in the case of Eruv Chatzeros. Okay. However, since a minimum is not necessary for an Eruv Chatzeros, then the rule that requiring it is waived once the Eruv has taken place. We're going to waive the rule of Eruv in favor of the Chazaka that we said before. And even though we're left with a Shirayim, but we're going to be Mekil in the case of Shiore Eruv. Now, if that be the case, then once again, we would have assumed that although Alocha Kedivrei HaMekil be Eruv, however, that's only in Eruv Chatzeros, where the only purpose of the Eruv Chatzeros is that the children growing up should not forget the law of Eruv. So there we can be Mekil. But how do we know that we can be Mekil even in Eruv Tchumen? And for that I need the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. I'm saying the statement of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi that Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, even in our Mishnah, which is Tchilas Eruv. Okay. Now we are up to Rav Yaakov v'Rabbi Zrika. Okay, so these are general rules that we're going beyond. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Zrika, Omru, Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavero, that if it's one against one, a yochid against another yochid, we pass like Rabbi Akiva, but if he argues against the rabbin, we pass like the rabbin. Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi mechaverov, we pass him like Rabbi Yossi, even against the rabbin. There are a couple of exceptions to that rule, but I don't know if the Gemara is going to address that here. Let me just see. No. And finally, halacha is kirebi mechavero. I'm not sure why he separates Rabbi Akiva from Rebbe here, with the statement of Rabbi Yossi right down the middle wedging. But basically, the law regarding Rebbe in Psak Halacha is identical with the law regarding Rabbi Kiva in accepting Lahalach, that we will accept Rabbi Kiva against another Yachid, and we'll accept Rebbe against another Yachid. So the Gemara tries to clarify, Lamai Hilchasa, this statement of Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika, why, what's the import of these rules that he's giving us? Are they telling us that we should be somech on this rule to be mora halacha lemaisa? Maybe they only mean it misvara, but we're not going to derive from this halacha lemaisa. Is Rav Asi omar halacha? Rav Chiya bar Abba omar mati? According to Rav Asi, what they had in mind, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zeika, is lismoch al haklolim lemaisa. We're going to be mora halacha publicly, based on these principles, these three principles that are formulated here by Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika. So we're not talking about, you know, theoretical, conceptual identification with Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yossi. We're talking about a very practical halacha l'maisa situation. And that's the view of Rav Asi. Rav Chiya bar Abba Omar, on the other hand, matin, that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika did not mean to say that it would be somech halacha l'maisa as a gemara halacha on Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi and so forth, as we saw, but rather matim hayu esadin lasos kein lechatchila. Right, we're hoping that the din will incline. Matim means incline, and we'll be able to do this lechatchila, and we're mora kiyachid. However, that's only matim. As far as horos halacha betzibur, to publicly go on record, that's already a different story. So whereas Rabbi Asi sees this principle of halacha ki Rabbi Akiva, etc., as absolutely practical, that is the formulation of normative halacha, as we would say. But Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is of the opinion that no, that although matin esadin lasos kein lechatchila in those three rules, but nevertheless, that's only as far as what? As far as the yachid is concerned, but not as far as being mora hora for the tzibur. Now we have a third opinion. V'Rab Yossi v'Rab Chanin Amar Nirim, and what they mean here by Nirim is Nirim Klolim Eilin Yina Yochid Shasakach Shein Mevatlam Es Maisov Avalim Bali Molech Tchila In Morolo Lasoske. And it means that these Klolim, which we thought were, you know, absolutely ironclad and reliable, fast, like the feathers, you know, everything is in place. And that's as far as the yachid is concerned, that it's not really the final law, that's ironclad law. Again, if you're talking about a yachid, that's one thing. And we're not going to be mevatel as mice, but if you're talking about the tzibur that's coming together, is ein morin lo lasos kein. No. Forget about the tzibur. If we talk the two cases of yochid, if you're talking about a yochid b'di'eved, that's a situation where we can rely on, let's say, Rabbi Akiva against another opinion, etc., etc. But if somebody would be asking us l'chatchila what to do in this case, then it's ein morin kein. We're not going to give him that rule and that final verdict, because we're talking about a case that's only b'di'eved and not l'chatchila. And that's the import of these klolim, which were formulated by Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zika, according to this last shita. Their principles are guiding principles, and we can certainly fall back on them, but l'chatchila is ein morin kein. We're not going to follow these klolim, but rather we're going to go and apply the regular general klolim of halacha, you know, yachid v'rab malacha kirabim. So let's just summarize the difference between halacha and matin and nirim. Halacha means that you can publicize in public lectures, we rely on these rules, they're practical, and they are absolutely legally binding. Matim means that we have an inclination, and in individual cases we can incline the rule towards that opinion, but they're not public, and they should not be part of a general drasha to the public. Nirim means that we don't rely on this psak, on this rule, for deciding a case, but b'dieved, we're not going to reverse the decision once it was made. And herein lies a machlokas, three-way machlokas, about the parameters of the rules that we established by Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika. Rav Ashi says those are hardcore rules, and we will publicize them as the final halacha. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, will say that these rules are only b'dieved, and Rabbi Chia will make a distinction between a yachid and the public nature. And now we're up to Kaloshen Azeh, Omer Rabbi Yaakov. Second, let me just organize my pages here. Kaloshen Azeh, similar to this machlokas about the Amoraim regarding Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika's formula and whether it's halacha, matin, or nirim, we have a machlokas with regard to the klolim, which were said and formulated by Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. And he quotes Rabbi Yochanan, and he says that when there's machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, then the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. When is machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, the halach is like Rabbi Yossi. And it goes without saying, in Tzorch Lomar, if there's machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, then certainly paskin halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. Because here's the kavachomer. Hashta, if in a case of machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, then certainly we're going to paskin in a machlok stream Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, like Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi gets the upper hand against Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda gets the upper hand against Rabbi Meir. So therefore, the Gemara says that in a machlok stream Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, we don't even have to, it goes to that saying that loch is Rabbi Yossi, because B'makom in a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda lesa, we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir, so b'makom that in a case where Rabbi Meir disagrees with Rabbi Yossi mi boy, for sure we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir, because we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir, but we paskin like Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rav Asi. And now once again we're going to analyze to what extent these rules that were formulated by Rav Yaakov Bar Idi are binding. So according to Rav Asi, Af Ani Lomed, I also derive this Kal V'Chomer, and I'm going to apply that Kal V'Chomer in a case of Machlok Shin Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon, that the halacha is like Rav Yossi. And why is that? The Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Alocha ki Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, if Rabbi Yossi has the upper hand against Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda has the upper hand against Rabbi Shimon, then certainly in a machlok stream Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, we're going to surely paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Hashta b'makom, if Rabbi Shimon argues against Rabbi Yehuda, less so, we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon, but rather like Rabbi Yehuda, is b'makom, in a case where Rabbi Shimon argues with Rabbi Yossi, he goes without saying. Certainly we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, because in a case of a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So certainly in a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Iboilahu, but now we have a suffix. We don't know Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Mai. What's the principle in Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon? They're both on the lower echelon, so to speak. Both of them will be rejected if they are rejected by Rabbi Yossi, but what if they argue amongst themselves, Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Shimon? And the Gemara says, Teku, we don't really know how to be poshet this suffix. Now we have another opinion about these very klolim. Amar Rabbi Masharshia, lesnu lani klolim. We don't accept these principles that were formulated earlier, that the halacha is like a specific tana, as a, you know, universal rule. B'chol makom, whenever he argues against this one, we're going to paskin either like him or against him. But rather, we should be machriya the halacha lefi svara, based on our logic. And if the logic compels us to accept one particular tana, we'll paskin like him. And if it's logical to paskin like the one who argues with him, then we'll paskin like the one who argues with him. There are no hardcore rules that always have to be applied. And minole, how does Rav Masharshia know this, that we don't rely on these klolim? So the Gemara has one suggestion, which the Gemara is going to reject. And then the Gemara is going to come up with an alternative suggestion. The first suggestion actually comes from our sugya here in Erevin, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Hei Amid Beis. And the Gemara is going to reject this. Ilema, if you're going to say the Rabbi Masharshia derived his conclusion, mehod is not. We're talking about three people that were sleeping outside the city at the time of the onset of Shabbos, and each one is kone a tchum of four amos, and only four amos, and two of the chitzonim are at a distance of shmona amos, one from the other. The shlishi is midway between the two, and he was kone shvisa between them. And the law is that the middle one can enter into and partner up with each one of the chitzonim, because there's an overlap. So there's a what we call a tchum mishutof. There's a partnership of shtei amos with each one of them. However, the chitzonim are not allowed to use, let's say you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven cannot rely on the four amos of Levi, you know, so there's only an overlap with either Reuven and Shimon or with Levi and Shimon. And the Mishnah states, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lema Dover Domel, L'Sholosh Chatzeres HaPsucho Zu L'Zu. You have three courtyards that open one into the other. There's an opening between the first one and the second one, between the second one and the third one. Psuchos l'shus harabim. Each one of these three chatzeros spill into or open into a reshus harabim. So there's a pesach for each one of these chatzeros into reshus harabim. And the din is that im erevu, if they left an erev chatzeros, then shtayim hachitzonos imaim tzoyos, the two outer chatzeros, together with the middle chatzer, is he muteres imoim vehe muteres ima. Okay, as far as the emtsois is concerned, she has a heter of carrying from hochatzer into each one of the two chatzeros chitzonios, and hein muteres ima. And those two chatzeros, the extreme chatzeros, they're allowed to carry into the chotzer. But shtayim achitzonios asuro zuim zu. This is the opinion of Rav Shimon, and he prohibits the outer chatzeros carrying one to the other. Whereas the Chacham disagree with Rav Shimon in this din, and they hold that all three chatzeros are asuros lishtamish zuim zuv. Yomar Rav Chama bar Guri Yomar Rav Halacha ki Rav Shimon. And Uman Poligale, who is the anonymous Tana who argues against Rav Shimon Rav Yehuda, because we assume he's always the bar plukta of Rav Shimon in Shas. And now we want to know, how can Rav Chama paskin like Rav Shimon against Rav Yehuda? Ha'amrit, we just finished saying in the Klolim, which again Rav Misharshi is going to reject these Klolim, but Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Alok, Rav Yehuda. El lav shmamino delisnu. So you see that we're going to accept the Svara against the Klal. So Gemara rejects this and says, my Kusha, what are you bothered by that we paskin here like Rav Shimon, Dilma? It's very possible that Heichad Itmar Itmar. When we have an explicit tradition that we paskin like Rav Shimon, then that's what we're going to do, and we're not going to fall back on any klol. We're going to go by this psak that was explicit, that was formulated in favor of Rav Shimon. But heich d'lo itmar, if there was never a formulation of halacha that we paskin like one or the other two opinions, then we go back to the klolim, and Enoch Inami will pass like Rav Yehuda against Rav Shimon. So that's not going to be an ample proof for Rav Misharshi. The Gemara now goes on to a different Mishnah that we didn't get to prove Rav Misharshi's point. Ella, let's prove it mehadisnan. The Mishnah later on says, ir shel yachid, which means that it's a, what does it mean, a private city? Well, what's a private city? There are no shishim ribui that, on a general basis, that go through this city. And therefore, it doesn't have the din of a Rishus HaRabin. And those who live in the city are allowed to set up an Erev Chatzeros, one Erev Chatzeros for the entire city, which is what we do today, actually. And the entire city is considered one Chatzer Achas. And therefore, you're allowed to be Metaltel. And why? Because there's no Shishim Ribui, and therefore it has the status of Rishus HaYochid. Or at least I should say it's not a Rishus HaRav. Now, let's say that at some point in time, the city grows, the population of the city grows, increases, and now there are new occupants or residents in the city. And we now reach that cap of Shishim Ribui. So now, what happens? We're going to talk about the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Is Ma'arvin Eskula? They're allowed to set up an Eruv for the entire city. Just like it was before the extra, you know, the population growth. Now, let's say you had a city that from the get-go was Shel Rabim, they had Shishim Ribui, and therefore you weren't allowed to set up an Eruv for the entire city. And now, Nasei Shel Yochid. I guess people left the city. Is Ein Ma'arvin Eskula Ke'achas. Even though now we have less than Shishim Ribui, we're not allowed to set up an Eruv, and that's because Mitchila, this was a city of Rabim, and it was also to be Ma'ariv Eskula Ke'echad. Now he writes here, which has to be understood, and we'll have to come back to this a little bit later, Lefisha Choshu Chachamim Shemalo Yedu Hanoshim Sheinichu Ba Erev. He's Brusha Muta Letalta Bishusa Rab. So I guess this is the kind of an Erev that could be operative even for a Shusa Rabim of Shishim Ribui. And the problem is that if you see people carrying within this city, nobody knows, or I shouldn't say nobody, but people don't know in general that there was an Erev in this city. And in the absence of the Erev, they're going to mistakenly come to the conclusion, Chas Shalom, that you can carry in Rishus HaRab. Because again, what it looks like is a Rishus HaRab. It's got Shishim Ribui. The only thing it's missing is, as far as Shishim Ribui and Rishus HaRab, is that there was an Erev for the entire city. So therefore, if you have Mitchila Shal Rabim, and now it nases shal yachid, and there are less than shishim ribui, ein ma'arvan es kula ke'echos. We're afraid that it'll go back to the status of an ir shal rabim, and once again the people will mistakenly think that you're allowed to continue the eruv that connects the entire city. And as we said before, asur Li Arif es kula ki echot. Okay then, so let's just make a note of that. Also, li Arif es kula ki echot. But again, even though now the population is diminished, and certainly you could set up an area for the entire city, but we're not going to do so because we're afraid that it may go back up again, and there'll be an influx of residents, and people will think that you're allowed to rely on this Erev that was set up when there was less than Shishim Ribui, and we don't rely on that Erev when there's Shishim Ribui. Elim Ken, the only exception to this is Chutzalah. Im Ose Chutzalah, he makes a Shiur Chutzalah. In other words, he leaves out a certain number of houses outside of the Erev, such that afilum omdim hei michutz le'ir, the enom klulim, or enom kolim, im eruv ha'ir, al yidei kach ye nikar, shetam heta til to be'iru mishum ha'eruv sheba. So we're going to have a situation in which we have a heker, and it's going to be crystal clear to the people that the heta tiltu is based on the eruv. They're not going to come to Metaltel in the city of Rabim that doesn't have an Eruv. And what is the Shir of Batim that you need to be Meshayah to leave Michutz LaEruv? And the answer is, if it's a large city, Gedola is Ir Chadosha, Ki Gedola Shal Ir Sheshma Chadosha BeYehuda, Sheesh Ba Chamishim Diorin. So we're going to use this city called Chadasha in Yehuda, and that has 50 residents, and that's enough for this shir, for this heker that we mentioned before. So let's just summarize. This is all the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says the following. You have a city that is somewhat private, meaning it doesn't have shishim ribui, and it became public. Then ma'arvim eskula, we can join the entire town in one eruv, and shal rabim shenasa shal yochid. But if it's a public town that became private, is ein ma'arvim eskula. We don't join the entire town in such an eruv. Elim kein osa chutzla, unless he sets an area outside the eruv in a city, so, well, like a city, we should say, equivalent to a city of Chadasha, which is a city in Yehuda. And that has 50 inhabitants, and this is Rabbi Yehuda. Now, this mission appears later on, and according to Rishonim, when we speak about a private town, it means it's privately owned. But Rashi, the way we interpreted before, interprets this to mean a town that has fewer than Shishim Ribui. And since there are less than Shishim Ribui, then it's not similar to the Machne Yisrael in the Midbar, and it doesn't qualify as Rishus HaRabim, Rabim, as far as the Iser Hotzah, as far as the Iser of Dalet Amos Rishus HaRab. So that's called a private town. A public town, according to Rashi, means it has Shishim Ribui. And since so many people live in the town, then all of its public thoroughfares are called and defined as a Rishus HaRabim. Again, there are other criteria that have to be met, but now, obviously, it's impossible to include a Rishus HaRabim in an area of an Eruv because it's biblically prohibited to carry from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim. An Eruv can only permit carrying in areas which are, biblically speaking, a Rishus HaYochid, and it's only Asumir Rabbanan. The Mishnah speaks of a case in which the thoroughfares did not qualify as Rishus HaRabim on other grounds. For example, let's say they weren't 16 Amos wide, Tesayin Amos. The rabbis nevertheless required that part of this public city be left unincorporated into the general Eruv so that people would not forget that carrying in a Rishus HaRabim is forbidden. They'll realize that this is an Eruv. So they remind themselves of the Rishus HaRabim prohibition. And the Mishnah teaches us that if you have a public town that became private because of a decrease in its population, the Rabbanon required that it exclude part of the town from the Eruv. Because of the possibility that the town will once again regain its previous population and resume the status of a public town. But in the case of a private town that grew to become a public town, they don't require setting aside such an area and excluding it from the Eruv, as long as the town is still a private town, or thought of as a private town. Now, since in the public mind the town is still too small to contain a Rishus HaRabim, and as a matter of fact it does not contain a Rishus HaRabim, as we said before, it doesn't have the Tesayin Amor, therefore allowing the entire town to be included in one single Eruv is not going to result in the mistaken notion that an Eruv is effective even for a Rishus HaRabim. So that is all the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Shimon Omer, and here we turn to Daf Mem Zayin, Shalosh Chatzeros Shel Shnei Batim, you don't have to set aside, as we said before, 50 inhabitants, like the equivalent to the town of Chadasha, but all you need is 3 Chatzeros that contain two Batim, 2 houses each, of these 3 chatzeros. Fine. Now, who do we paskin like? Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The Omer Rami Rav Chama Bar Guria, Omer Rav Halacha Kir Rabbi Shimon. Now, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Now, let's use the ruling of Rav Chama Bar Guria, and now we can support Rav Mesharshia, Man Polagale. Who's the Tana who disagrees with Rav Shimon in this mission? It's Rabbi Yehuda. Va'amrit, you just told me that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Alocha Kir, Rabbi Yehuda. How can you paskin like, or how can Rav Chama Bar Guria paskin like Rabbi Shimon? Obviously, we use logic and not these hardcore klolim. Umay Kusha, the Gemara rejects this. Dilma Hachinami, Hecha Itmar, Itmar, Hecha Lo Itmar, Lo Itmar. So this quote from the Mishnah later on is not any better than the previous quote, because again we're going to say that there was never an official formal ruling that we paskin halacha kir Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we can allow ourselves the license in this case of paskining like Rabbi Shimon. But as a general rule to a hardcore, how do we paskin in a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? We're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And now we're up to Elohad Disnan again, another attempt at defending Rav Mesharshia, and that's Elohad Disnan, which is here on Daf Mem Zayin Amid Aleph, and that's the case of Haminiach Es Beso, which is 4 lines down from the top. So Mirtz Hashem, we'll pick that up in tomorrow's Shir and continue our efforts, our project of trying to find a source and a basis for Rav Mesharshia's principle that we can paskin based on svara rather than hardcore klolot.